As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
Oh, and today, the horror, the carnage, the bloodshed, the Stella McCartney doorbuster sale. We canvass the victims, and our panel operator models the spoils.
Oh, he looks fetching. The swimming is about to start, the World Championships, all of your vital, up-to-the-second updates.
Really?
Yeah.
On this program?
Honestly.
All right. George Bush's Feel the Love Tour of South America. How's that progressing? We'll find out.
Wacko Jacko, did you meet him at a party? Did it cost you $4,000? We find out how it went.
Slagging off your own sponsor. How does that go? We had one, we'd tell you.
And how much does it cost to bribe a policeman in Iowa?
Oh, we'll find out. Courtney Love appalled by drugs. Talking urinals, are they the way of the future? And Danny Boyle, director of Trainspotting, sits in for the second hour to talk about his latest film, Sunshine, and help us blow the lid off film industry excess. It's all coming up on Get This, where today we'll meet the frenzied harlots who raided Richard Marsland's wardrobe.
I know I've got the trench coat and I've got a couple of the tie tops, and after that it was all a bit of a blur.
You too still haven't found what they're looking for. Good morning, everybody. It's Get This around the nation on Triple M. As usual, Tony Martin sitting here over there, Ed Cavalli.
Hello.
And up the back, pushing buttons, Richard Marsland. Oh, welcome aboard. And our sponsors. We still don't have a sponsor on this program.
Now, it's funny for about a week. It's slightly humorous for a few weeks.
That's right.
But when I'm trawling my MySpace every day, trying to find people with quirks to be our sponsor, this is a national program, right? Yeah. Things aren't looking good.
We do get a lot of people emailing and wanting to be sponsors. So good on you.
And keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming. But, you know, maybe we've got to start slagging off our potential sponsors. Maybe we're trying to attract them the wrong way.
Mm.
Listen to this. Radio host John Laws has been hauled in by his management after telling listeners he hated one of the show's sponsors immediately after one of their ads went to air. The veteran morning show host played an advertisement for a Villawood-based carpet, timber and blind retailer and then followed the spot with, "I hate those people."
Yeah, it was a media watch last night.
Was it?
Amazing. I should get the grab.
And how did they respond?
Well, he then described the bloke in the ad for the company as that fat little man.
Thanks for those fat little men.
But we've got to treat them mean, keep them keen, go down. What did they say on media watch?
Oh, they just said, you know, well, obviously they just made the same point. Like, who's paying the bills? You've got to treat them a bit kinder, John. I mean, it's rare that you would see... You know,
maybe they've got
to criticise.
Maybe they've got to up their game.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he's right. Maybe they've had it too good for too long. Maybe he's let himself go. Maybe he was a deliciously svelte individual. And John's trying to give him a push in the right direction.
The people at Villawood are scum, pure and simple. Scum, utter scum. Take them out the back and hang them. Judge Roy Bean would know what to do with the people from Villawood. Maybe we've got to go down that path.
That's great.
Who are we trying to get as a sponsor for this program?
Blockbuster Video.
Video Easy, Blockbuster, Civic Video, anything like that.
Yeah.
Would do fine.
I hate them.
Those video shops are scum.
Yeah. I hate them.
Overnight scum only. Okay, no, we love the video shops. Surely one
fat
of them.
Little men.
Is it because there's a sense that video shops are kind of on the way out?
Yeah, well...
We could reverse that trend.
Yeah.
We could get people back down there. Like I say, it's the art gallery in your local shopping strip.
It is.
That's my theory.
I got a new release and three questionable weekly titles for $5 the other day.
Oh, yes.
$5.
What was in the weekly pile?
Untouchables.
Great. Yeah.
I got that. I got Dig, the shockumentary
that's,
about the Dandy Warhols.
Great. That's amazing.
It was great stuff. And what was the other one I got? Transamerica.
Ouch.
Wow.
Any need? Really?
I got 15 minutes in.
Okay. That's more than most.
And I was like, just like stroking my Adam's apple, just thinking about the shaving, because they shave your Adam's apple when you pre-ops.
Okay.
Well, I borrowed Short Bus the other day.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
To quite a lot of people on your MySpace page.
You loved it?
WTF. Because you should have seen the look that I got from the guy behind the counter when I borrowed it. It was kind of a knowing arch of the eyebrow.
Yeah. that, and a phone number.
I was in for a fun evening.
Yeah. What was your favourite scene?
Oh, so much. I mean, the opening 17 minutes sort of pre-opening titles
what happened?
Montage is something special.
For those who haven't seen it, Rich, what happened?
I'm not going to explain absolutely everything.
No.
But can I hazard a guess as to say that it's not simulated? It's all
oh, it's real. It happened.
Right.
Well, and you watched it.
Yeah. It's a bit fruity. There's a big sing-along at the end.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people talking with their mouth full. Yeah. I don't know how they have ability to sing for most of it.
How did you like the orgy scenes, Rich?
Yeah, they were top stuff.
They're more kind of orgy cutaways. There's quite a normal conversation going on.
Yeah.
Bang, cut to some really kind of sweet action.
Right.
Sorry, what were we saying?
I think we were saying how we don't have a sponsor.
Oh,
I think this is possibly the reason why. Because up to 25% of the show every day is spent discussing a particular R-rated film in detail.
Certainly got some elaborate use out of those balls that you sit on.
Yeah.
I notice you're taking up yoga now, Richard. Yeah. I can't imagine why.
Hard to do two takes of a lot of those shots. Have to be at a time in between them.
We need some more commercial gear. What about sports? See, that's the Achilles heel of this program. Maybe that's why the sponsors are
jumping on board.
Sizzle
it up. I've got a sports report next.
Oh, next? Not even now?
Sizzle, dude.
Okay.
Sizzle.
Next up, sport on Get This. Ah, yes. Straight lines. That's Silverchair here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. We're off air. You know, we go to a song and our panel operator, Richard Marsden, he's one of the nicest, most politely spoken men you could ever meet.
He's not sorry.
No.
Never.
What?
But every now and then he'll just say something and you'll go, you got to say that on air. And you go, oh, no, I can't. I
know.
Say that.
He does it all the time.
And we get... We get into the song and he goes, yeah, I had a look at Short Bus the other day. And I was thinking, gee, you know, what would Triple M listeners, average Triple M listeners think putting this on? They'd probably think, gee, there's an awful lot of analingus. Can't believe you said that, Richard.
Well, I've never heard the American National Anthem sung quite that way.
Yeah. Human trumpet style.
Are we doing another break on this film?
That's it.
Hey, but just to show that we're not the only people getting into the fruity talk in the media. Sideshow Mike, one of our production whizzes here at Triple M, has found a clip. This was on the news over the weekend, during the sports, in fact.
Oh.
Now, this is a very old joke, but I'm enjoying the fact that this bloke has decided to try and do it straight-faced. And see if we can get it onto the news. Have a listen.
Victoria's taken out the prestigious King's Cup rowing title for the 65th time. The Vic celebrated in typical fashion, dropping their cocks into the water.
There you go.
Bravo.
I knew someone would get that into a sports report one day.
Never heard that before.
Is that sports for this show?
No. Hey, that's the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
As it's time to find the little bit of paper and go to Sports Report. Theme song by Yaz.
I don't understand it, but I like it.
Okay, let's hear it.
The FINA World Swimming Championships are about to begin, and the hot news off the presses is that the pool does not leak.
Oh, okay.
More updates soon.
Oh, well, that's it. Hit the yaz again, I guess. That's the end of the sports report. Are people swimming, are they? During a drought, people are swimming. That's just rubbing it in, isn't
it? Well, I'm going to wait for the bushfires to start, and I'm having a bonfire contest.
Good move.
Down the main street.
That's sports, is it?
No, that's the first updates. As they come streaming in, hot off the presses, bang, the Yaz gets a run, and I'll give them to you. Well, I've got more updates coming, I'm sure.
If you're going to do sports, you're going to have to get a nickname. You know, this is one of the only shows on radio where we allow people the dignity of their actual name.
Well, in the loony bin, I'm the bedwetter. So perhaps I could be...
Cavman!
Oh, Cavman. Hey, Cavman Scoop.
All right.
Ed Wickets Coverley.
Oh, Wickets.
Yeah.
Yesterday on the show, we went around the States a few times. And we didn't really... In fact, Adelaide, copped a pretty...
Ignored.
It got a raw prawn on yesterday's show. Firstly, we didn't realise it was a public holiday because of the Adelaide Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was nothing in our Round the States segment. So let's have a special Adelaide-only Round the States. What have you found? Adelaide local, Mr. Marsland.
Oh, of course. From Hampstead Gardens, as a matter of fact, two people have gotten married, Emma Treacher and Carmelo Falanga.
Yeah.
And you might have heard, a lot of churches and gardens these days are banning confetti and rice.
Ice?
Yes. Yeah. No, ice is still encouraged.
I went to a wedding the other day with no ice. Could hardly sit through it.
Those bridesmaids were really okay. A lot of energy. But they're banning confetti and, of course, ice. So now rice. My God, what is going on?
He's got ice on the brain.
It's groundhog segment. What is going on?
So now a lot of people are actually indulging in butterflies.
Oh.
Have you ever been to a wedding where they release butterflies?
No.
And, like, so the union and to sort of symbolize their new life together, like, you know, the butterfly emerging from the chrysalis.
Oh, yeah.
They release lots of butterflies into
accompanied by a Celine Dion song, by any chance?
It's something like that.
Okay.
This couple in South Australia use the special orange and black monarch butterflies that are native to all of Australia, and they're $10 each.
Wow.
And they've got a wingspan of 10 centimetres.
Yes, I know. But I will take an interest in that moth.
It's a butterfly, not a moth.
Come on, John. Get your act together.
But interestingly, they released, it was the release of the butterflies was the largest of its kind in Australia. 500 butterflies.
Wow.
Released at this wedding in Hampstead Gardens.
So that's like $5,000 right there.
Yeah, $5,000 worth.
$10,000 if it's 20.
Sort of moving.
I don't know. It's not your maths connection today.
I mean, in retrospect, the bug zapper in the back of the room was a bad idea. but it's an amazing story.
Rich.
Yes.
The butterflies.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
So I remember what I was going to say.
You want me to cover for you, maybe?
Please
you
try do. Remember just for a second. Yep.
You mentioned drugs.
Yeah.
Listen to this story.
Accidentally.
Yeah. Every little bit helps.
Here we go. Don't butterflies, don't they die after a week? Yeah. Don't they have it's not looking good for the marriage.
That's also not a good metaphor, is it?
It's horrible.
A lot of butterflies in our family. Courtney Love, listen to this in the New Weekly. Courtney Love claims she found, quote, white powder in the toilets at Paris Hilton's recent birthday celebration. Well, Courtney Love's taking the moral high ground. That's interesting, isn't it? Oh, no, there's drugs here, said an outraged Love hanging from the ceiling by her underpants while graphically servicing a football team. have we got more Round the States coming?
Yeah.
All right, let's see what we can do next. I'll get this. Hungry like the wolf. That'd be Duran Duran here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Good morning, if you've just joined us. Tony Martin, Ed Caverley, Richard Marsland's here, and it's time once again for sports.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. What do you got for us,
Cap Man? G'day, how are you, fellas?
Touching that one.
Yeah, leave it out. We just fell ill. You know, how many premierships did you play in?
Steady, mate. Keep it clean. This lady's present.
Oh, well, hey,
is that the sports report? I think it is. Come on, surely you've got something.
Yep, the back of the swimming, because the swimming's not getting enough press. That's what the problem I'm having with it is. It's only been on the front page for 7 weeks running.
Yeah.
So listen to this. Susie O'Neill, they've named the pool after her.
Okay. Oh, look. You know, we're more comfortable talking about nerdish film issues on this program. And I'd like to point out more people go to the cinema than go to live sports.
I know.
That's been proven.
Absolutely right.
Last night I went along to see Sunshine, the new film from Danny Boyle, who's joining us in the next hour.
Looking forward to that.
And it was one of those popcorn taxi events.
Ah.
Now, you know, they do a great thing. They arrange these screenings all around the country of films, and then they have the filmmakers or the actors there, and you can ask them questions afterwards.
Oh,
oh, my God.
Who was
there? Oh, my God. Well, it's Danny Boyle, and it's a science fiction film. I think there was one woman.
Right. So let me just hazard a guess. If you had IT problems at home and you wanted a call for some support, you wouldn't have, the phone would have run off at the computer
wrong
place.
Night for that.
Right.
Really.
But the kind of people, I mean, I love film buffs and film nerds. These are our people. But the kind you get who go along when there's going to be a Q&A, the sort of people who are just trying so hard to be seen in the audience.
That's right.
They're trying so hard to look like their favourite film director.
Yes.
So many guys, fat guys with beards and long coats trying to look like Kevin Smith.
Is that still going
on? So many fey young men in tweed suits trying to look like Wes Anderson.
Yeah, that's popular.
Standing up the front trying to be seen while texting their screenplay to somebody.
Yeah.
I actually heard this conversation next to me.
What do you got?
How are you going with the screenplay?
Oh, mate, third act trouble.
Yeah,
third act suck.
That's why. I heard that word for word.
I'm getting rid of them.
So many people rehearsing their question.
Oh,
what would the questions have been? I couldn't wait for the question.
Okay.
I love how they have a question, but somehow within the question, they'll have like...
There's a six-minute statement at the start.
About this thing they're working
when
on.
When I first got into film myself and realised that I was a genius, I wrote this screenplay. I'm not going to bore you with the details now, but it's about the post-apocalyptic world. My question is, do you like my jacket?
So many people in incredibly expensive designer gear, all attacking our consumer society.
Yes, you know,
a beautifully ironed Che Guevara shirt. I love it when you see that.
Stick it to the man.
Ah, yes.
I went to the Spike Jonze one, and that was...
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The showboating that would have gone on and the questions for Spike Jonze.
Some guy put his hand up and said, did you know that being John Malkovich, at the 7.5-minute mark of the film, the 7.5 floor is introduced?
Yeah.
And Spike Jonze, I think, was being very pleasant and said, no, I had no idea. I thought maybe he might have been taking the mickey slightly.
Yeah, that...
Because that's all over the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, all we have to do is go
to the
trivia page on IMDb, or perhaps even Wikipedia.
Yeah, they need snipers up in the balconies for when a question like that begins. Anyway, if you want to hear more questions like that, next hour, again, this. It's three nerds grill Danny Boyle.
Got a new jacket I'm hoping to get an opinion on.
I've got to get my really expensive no logo shirt happening just in time.
That'll learn them.
Okay, back to business. What is going on with the war in Iraq?
Have we won yet?
What happened to that surge? Remember there was going to be a surge?
Oh, yeah, how'd that go?
Well, the headline today is US readies for failure in Iraq.
Oh.
US military planners have begun plotting a fallback strategy. You know, they're pretty much... It's going to be the most gung-ho failure in military history, I'm guessing.
Good.
But what it's like, you know, when you go to someone's house and you accidentally smash a sculpture and they haven't noticed and you've got to sneak out, but you've got to sort of put it back together before you leave.
Yeah.
If I just prop this bit up against that bit, I reckon I can get to the door before it all falls over. That's pretty much what's going on in Iraq.
And the little bits that you can't find a place for, just put them under the couch.
Just stack
no
it all
notice.
Up. And as long as it's still there by the time we get to the border, and once we've gone, it's up to them.
No, we didn't do it.
Like it sorted out themselves. Meanwhile, George Bush is on his Feel the Love tour of South America.
Aren't they loving him?
Isn't that going great? Mayan leaders, this is in Guatemala, are to perform a special cleansing ceremony at their ancient ruins to clear bad energy after a visit by President Bush.
Wow.
We will be burning incense, placing flowers and water in the area where Mr. Bush has walked to clean out the bad energy. You know you've done a great tour when they're doing that. When they're basically wafting the door of the Mayan ruins going, oh, I'd give that 10 minutes. George Bush has been through. Oh, pino clean, something. That's going well, that tour.
Oh, dear.
Okay, get your nerdish questions ready for Danny Boyle, guys.
Yeah.
And before that, fashion. What was going on at that Stella McCartney business yesterday? Oh, we'll find out next.
Get this.
The results are disturbing, and your kids are suffering from their mistakes.
Brought to you by Paul Murray, who once unleashed a torrent of road rage on former GMA astrologer Karen Morgold, and later had a go at Gabrielle Gattai. Good on you, Paul, putting the C-list in their place.
Get This is the name of the program. It's on Triple M pretty much everywhere. During that ad break in some states, there would have been an ad for Blade, the series. More episodes of Blade coming.
Yeah. It's a whole new series, I guess, based on the popular movie, which was based on the comic book. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Wesley Snipes.
Yeah, that's it.
What were you going to say, Richard?
Well, I've actually seen...
Come on, out with it.
A preview tape of the Blade series.
Yeah.
I've seen the first three episodes, and I've got to say, the third Blade cuts even closer.
Okay.
You get
all right.
You got that gag slightly wrong, didn't you? Did I say the third episode or third Blade?
I said the third Blade.
Yeah,
like,
let's
I've
not
seen
linger.
The three episodes.
It sounded fine over here.
Fine.
Sorry.
Yeah. Where were you at Popcorn Taxi last night?
I know, I should have been there.
Absolutely. Oh, my God, the questions. I didn't stick around for the questions.
You saw Spike Jonze, though.
Yeah, and I've got to say, the moderator, at one stage, like the moderators, I'm not sure who they pick.
No.
They just throw a brick at some sort of art gallery opening and you'll do.
Falls over.
But this guy spent about 10 minutes pontificating, like getting all his opinions out about all these commercials that Spike Jonze had made. And at some point, I mean, you know, like Spike Jonze fans, I'm guessing, a pretty paisley sort of bunch. Someone yells out from the background, Ask a friggin' question.
And then when, and that embarrassment that you get.
The displaced embarrassment.
Oh, isn't that awful?
You just want to, you know, when one of them starts, you want to stand up and say, excuse me, Mr. International Film, man or lady, we are not all like this, you know. Some of us are quite happy just to come along and, you know, and watch and go home.
Are you trying to get into one tonight? For Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, I'm presuming Edgar Wright, the team behind Shaun of the Dead, and now Hot Fuzz.
Going to see Hot Fuzz, going to see it. We've seen it, go see it again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just so we don't double up, you know, but I'm having a bit of trouble getting in.
What did they say?
Well, apparently we were calling to see if I was important enough to get in. The answer's no.
You might have a bit more trouble.
Luckily,
now.
I've got my Angus Samson mask ready to roll.
And what's it?
We're busting it out.
You've got to embarrass us with a question. Come on. You've got to come up with some long-winded question that contains more information about your own screenplay than the subject of the questions were.
Yeah, look, I don't want to go on and on about it, but I'm in a KFC ad. And a lot of the stuff that you guys are doing, I did in the late 90s, a lot of like relationship police work.
Can I ask, did you ever see my ad?
Yeah, my question is, like, I've got a DVD and a thing in the car if you want to come watch it. My question is to you, Simon.
Actually, I can't
remember.
Do
I look cute in these culottes?
Tell you what, let's get the bitterness out of our systems and cheer things up with a bit of fine music. And Mr. Marsland, you're going to sing for us today?
Oh, sure. Okay. It just begins with vocals. Is that all right?
Go for it.
They said love.
Well, I'd love to, but there simply isn't time. Thirsty Markets, get this around the nation on Triple M, where I think it's time for a bit of Consumer Watch.
Mind the door.
Are you being salsa?
I'm paying money.
In memory of the late John Inman, still celebrating
Rexy.
The life and times. But yesterday, that Stella McCartney business.
Yes.
That's prompted us to put, what are we doing? We're having a bit of bargain hunt, are we?
You are dealing with Dickinson.
All right. Dickinson.
Any of you guys get down for a bit of that McCartney gear?
Well, I'm wearing the Julian Lennon range at the moment, and I've got to say that really comfortable and functional, Ed. Looks fantastic, don't you think?
Hessian, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Hessian ponchos and side parts all round. Loving it.
The footage. Did you see the footage of the women just charging?
Not enough scuffling.
You know who I saw? Chappelle Corby was in
really?
The footage. You could actually see. I don't know what she was doing there. My wife went down and got into a scrum, and there was just a massive queue of women round the block. So, but my wife has spotted a whole bunch of larger women forming a kind of a phalanx, a kind of a, you know, when the Roman army would get all their shields together.
Yeah, like in the turtle.
Yeah, like a scrum.
The and one that Obelix would just run straight through.
She's got into their wake and she's got past the queue and somehow got in. What? And then it was just chaos. It was just basically the movie Platoon once you were inside. And, you know, no possibility of trying anything on.
No, grab
whatever you can, whatever size, and get out. And so she's gone home, tried something on and hasn't fit. So she's gone back. Everything's gone by now at Target. But the vultures are circling, waiting for the returns.
Yeah, true. Return vultures.
And she was swooped on by return vultures who just tore the piece of pants, just tore the whole thing apart. It was five women fighting over one pair of pants.
Wow.
Full on. Disturbing.
Really full on. Well, here we go. A lady, Connie Chung, 35, from Tibbles.
Connie Chung. Newsreader.
This is, that's what I thought you'd all jump at that.
Married to Maury Povich.
It's like our sponsor earlier, Paul Murray. It wasn't the Paul Murray from later on Triple M. Different Paul Murray.
This is bizarre.
What a confusion going on.
Called Connie Chung.
Okay, look at this. I heard Stella McCartney was doing a range for Target. I'm excited to buy something with her name on it. And it says later on in this article by that the people are willing to buy anything with Stella McCartney's name on it.
Right.
Good time to release some of our gear, I reckon. Stella McCartney / get this, capes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hessian sacks.
Yes.
Barrels.
A bit of Birdman gear.
Stella McCartney Birdman costume. Really? Stella McCartney paper mache Angus Samson suits. Complete with ugly Dave Gray mustache.
Hey, because we're trying to get a special t-shirt made for Caperl.
I know
it. That has a cape on it.
I know.
So you're saying if we could put the Stella McCartney name on?
Bang.
Can you just do it? I mean, do you have to have permission? Like, what if you spelled it differently? Can we get away with that?
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Stella McMarsland.
Stella McMarsland.
Stella McMarsland.
That's happening.
Big name in fashion. Capril's looking good.
Would you? But hang on a second. I've just worked that out. That's wrong. We're going to have a t-shirt with a cape printed on it.
Yeah.
That's like my Harlem Globetrotters T-shirt with a singlet printed on it. Mm. Incorrect. Mm. It should be a T-shirt with a cape hanging off the back of it.
Well, that's kind of the look, I think, at the moment. But at the front... Yeah. There's a little knot tied where the cape goes, and it looks a little bit wogglish, like a
oh, really?
like a scout thing, like a Fatty Finn kind of look.
The cape on the shirt requires a bit more extra money. Have you had a look at our ratings?
I can't read them.
When we get a sponsor,
yeah,
and as long as we don't do a John Laws on them,
yeah,
say I hate them.
I've seen our ratings, single figures and asterisks. That's good, isn't it?
In some parts of the country, doing quite well.
Really?
I don't want everyone to think it's, you know. It swings and roundabouts.
Look, just look out for them, all right?
I'm just saying I don't think we're powerful enough to have a separate cape on the T-shirt. Might have to be a drawn-on cape. It's sad.
How do you know you've made it? You can have as many capes when you can have real capes on things. Stella McCartney could have got a real cape for Target if she'd had the foresight.
We're talking...
Trench coats, they're old news.
Bargains. We're supposed to be playing bargain hunt today.
Did she do a foam dome?
She will soon.
Really?
Have we got any more David Dickinson?
I'm going to say to you, this is sheer heaven for me. Yes. And I'm drooling already with this pair, this huge pair of globes. Ooh. And they're 25-inch globes. We're looking at over £200,000 for this magnificent pair of globes. And I'm going to say these are probably the finest pair of globes that are on sale in the country today.
Globes! Maybe you found some globes. It could be anything.
Check it out. The trash, the scavenger hunt is on. Hard rubbish day is on.
Oh, yeah. That's a bargain hunt. Yeah.
Is it what? Now, this is an excellent article written by Ian Rue.
This is in Melbourne, I think.
In one of the Melbourne papers. Because essentially what's happened is that they put a whole bunch of stuff on the ground to see what on the road to see what will go first.
Yeah.
Questionable electrical appliances went first, which is always good to know. A stroller was the last one there. But the thing that kind of grabbed my attention is that he's got almost a 24-hour timeline here.
Right.
That means that his job for yesterday was to just sit in a car and watch a pile of rubbish to see who was going to take what.
His job was inventing news.
Yeah.
When you think about it.
And Jess, who wrote in before saying that there was a postie going through her hard rubbish.
That's right.
He said that he's...
I think that was kind of an analogy for something. I'm not sure if she was meaning that literally.
Oh, no. She meant it literally because he's back and he's taken a CD rack. He's come back out of the postie gear and taken the CD rack.
Oh, he's come back in civvies.
Yeah.
For a second dip.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
And I can just remember hard rubbish day for me was tough when I was growing up. Because my mum could smell hard rubbish. My mother could hear someone moving a broken couch out of their living room six suburbs away. And we'd be off. My mother and I would be off in somebody's ute that she'd borrowed. And honestly, the amount of... she'd pick me up from the video store where I worked. Mind you, I worked both days on the weekend. I had so many friends. And then we drive out to literally the middle of nowhere, and I would have to spend whole afternoons talking to my mother about, is it more broken if one of the legs of a table is gone or if the recliney bit on a chair doesn't work? Which would be better for us to pick up, take home, and for me to spend the next 6 months having to try and fix?
Okay, it's not Cavalry family values today. It's what have you found bargain-wise? Bargain hunt. Are we running over time?
They need to get a move on because I can feel the pressure rising in my head. It's saying to me, something has got to be done.
Tell us about the incredible bargain you found. It doesn't have to have the word Stella McCartney on it. Call us now. 133353. Oh, that's Lenny Kravitz, American Woman, here at Get This on Triple M, where I think we're playing Bargain Hunt.
Mind the door.
Yes.
Are you being sassy?
I'm paying money.
Thank you, everybody. And what are we going to have, Richard?
We're going to have an eye-popping, cracking lot of kit on that stand.
Who's got some kit?
Hi, Brett, how are you?
G'day, guys, how are you?
Excellent, sir. Your bargain?
My bargain was a BMX Bandits DVD plus BMX Bandits T-shirt for just $6.
Bang! Where'd you get that?
Insanity in the City.
Is that right? I had no idea BMX Bandits had been remastered for DVD. How's it looking?
It's looking pretty good, you know, with the bikes and everything. The sound they make, it's Dolby Digital.
Have they
now
remastered the shirt? That's great.
Yeah.
Hey, Brett, the T-shirt, does it fit?
No, it's too small, but that's,
But that's a good look. BMX Bandit midriff.
Okay. Wow.
Not convinced.
Maybe we should ask Danny Boyle if he's seen BMX Bandits. He'd like that.
Give it a go.
Who's going next?
Jordan, how are you?
Good, mate. How are you?
Excellent. What's your bargain?
I found a number one Phantom comic for a dollar.
Wow! No. What, the first issue ever?
Very first one.
How is that possible?
Oh.
Where did you find it? In a museum?
Oh, in some crappy secondhand bookshop in Canberra.
And how much would that be worth, Jordan?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Excellent work.
Good invite. Right off me?
All right, I'll give you a buck.
$1 million.
All right.
$1 million. Have you transferred it to a plastic envelope and put it in a temperature-controlled safe yet?
Sure have.
Yeah, good on you. Of course you have.
Thanks, Jordan. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
Really good. What was your bargain, dude?
Oh, my bargain. You were just talking about the hard rubbish piles your mum used to make you go through.
Yes.
My dad used to take us to Blackfern Tip.
Oh, yes.
And we ended up with Christmas decorations for our Christmas tree. And get this. Cutlery that my dad told us not to tell my mum that he'd picked up from the tip. And my parents are divorced now, but my mum still has that cutlery and she doesn't know.
Oh, that'll teach you. Who's having the last laugh there? Every night she's eating off cutlery from the tip.
It's very wrong. Now, I had a question for you guys.
Yeah?
I'm turning 30 and I'm super keen to have a capel party.
Right. I would say go right ahead.
I want you guys to get behind it.
Oh, okay. Yep.
We'll get behind anything on this program, so Dan, we'll run up a promo for this.
Yeah.
Look, I want you guys to get behind this. It's going to be a big do.
We'll keep you on air after this, and we'll get all your details, and I think you'll find that we will get behind pretty much anything on this show. Absolutely.
Christmas decorations from the tip. Where does one hang a used condom on their Christmas tree?
Let's find out as we meet our next caller.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
Julie.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Excellent. Well, tell me what your bargain was.
Oh, last week I'm scratching through eBay, the good old shopping site, and I came across a couple of organs that were once owned by Bruce Jacobs, the Dingo Man.
Right.
They've been chewed on and they've been left to the elements. I paid $5 each for them, but I got offered $100 each last night.
Bam! Wow, so you're already about 5,000% up.
Something like that.
Buy low, sell high. That's your motto. That's excellent.
And have you had a crack at them? Do they sound good?
Yeah, one of them's even working. I'm thinking for $5, you can't go wrong, eh?
That's fantastic. You can buy a lot of organs on the internet for $5 if you look around. Fantastic.
Hi, Jamie. How are you?
How you going?
Really good. What was your bargain?
Mate, I was driving along on the hard rubbish, you know, the pickups.
Oh, yes.
And I'm on the road a fair bit, and I saw a cricket bat, and I thought, I'll grab that, and I'll just use it for the backyard, you know?
Fair enough.
And I get a collector's magazine sent to me every 6 months or every 3 months or something.
Yep.
I was reading it in there, and they had that. It was a Don Bradman endorsed bat.
Oh, so you found a signature Don Bradman bat just on the side of the road.
Yeah, it wasn't actually signed. It was an endorsed one that he actually endorsed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
How much is it worth?
There was the same cricket bat in this collector's magazine. It was worth over $1,000. So,
right.
So, as you can imagine, it wasn't used for the backyard cricket anymore.
No. Highfalutin games.
I think the actual signature ones, I mean, he was knocking them out, you know, 30 or 40 of them a minute.
Oh, really?
Towards the end there. He had a lot just in the back of the car, and if he just got to the toll at the bridge, he'd just grab a bat side and pass it over.
Thanks very much. Hey, well done, Jamie. Hello, Jimmy. How are you?
How you doing?
Really good. What'd you find?
I found for $50 a set of five wheels for my car. Now they're usually worth for a set of four, one less wheel, for about $200 to $300.
And where were these wheels stolen from initially?
I'm probably guessing off a cop car, but I bought them at a retail shop. A tyre joint in Cheltenham.
Great. Okay. I'm sure there's so many tyre joints in Cheltenham that the police will never be able to track down their tyres.
Well done, Jimmy. Hi, Joel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Really good, man. What's your bargain?
We went away on Friday for the long weekend and we stopped at that Ned Kelly's bakery in Coorumburra. Oh.
Yeah.
And we went in for breakfast. Well, they had buy 200 600ml Cokes, get a free Coke bottle.
Okay.
So we got that. We bought four loads of bread for the barbecue. They gave us four free rolls. Wow. And the lady looks at me and goes, well, you spent over $10 and gave me a free Ned Kelly bag too.
Oh! And was she herself wearing an upturned rubbish bin on her head with a slot
hacked
in it? No, she wasn't,
but they got the photos of them all over the bakery, so it doesn't look too good next to the bread.
Yeah.
well done. You know, well done you.
This no worries.
A great selection of bargains here.
Yeah, yeah.
As you can see, hundreds more callers.
Yep.
But I'm afraid we're going to have to sign off.
Okay.
We're already into the second hour.
Thank you to everyone. Good to hear. Very good to hear that Hard Rubbish Day is in full swing. Hello to Mum and to whatever you're rummaging through right now.
And joining us in the remainder of this hour, Danny Boyle.
Get this.
It just makes me tear my hair out.
Brought to you by Andy, who's warning Tony and Ed to watch out for Richard's white-handing and claims he's trying to take over the... Richard, what are you doing in here?
No! No!
Because I wanna.
It's the second hour of Get This.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
And look, an actual filmmaker in the studio for once. Danny Boyle is here.
Yes.
Hello.
Applause for everyone.
Thank you very much.
Danny, I noticed you've got a big folder with you. I'm guessing that's full of screenplays that you were given at last night's screening.
There are a few in there, it has to be said. A couple of small films and a couple of synopses, yeah.
All right, well, welcome to Nerd Country, by the way. I mean, I'm sure you came through the foyer and saw a lot of pictures of footballers.
Yeah.
None of that on this show.
Yes,
What kind of questions are we going to be tackling in this hour?
Hopefully some obscure, lifeless, ordinary references. talk of props in Sunshine and that kind of deal.
Yeah, it would be obscure if there were lifeless, ordinary questions. Yes.
Sound effects. We love to talk about
sound effects. Yeah.
Did you make a film called Vacuuming Completely in the Nude? Was that you?
Vacuuming Completely Nude in Paradise.
I knew I got it wrong. I knew I got it wrong. All I know is it's Timothy Spall. Was he the one vacuuming in the nude?
He was, actually, at one point. Although he insisted actors do this, they agree to do it in the nude, and then you actually get to the day and they want to keep their underpants on.
Yeah.
So sadly, maybe wisely, he had his underpants on.
We've dragged him down to our level, and it's just the intro bit. Yeah. More coming on Get This. That'd be split ends. Thank you, gentlemen. You can leave now. We'll see you in 6 months. It's Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Please, some fake applause. Have you got some, Richard, for Danny Boyle?
Yes.
He directed Shallow Grave and Trainspotting and 28 Days Later, and now a new film called Sunshine, which comes out in about a month's time. Welcome aboard, Danny.
Thank you very much, guys.
Lovely.
Very nice to be here.
We are huge sound effects buffs on this show. And you made a... Was it your first film in cinemas, Shallow Grave?
Yeah, that's right.
The most appalling sound in the history of cinema... is there's a sound of someone sawing up a body in a forest.
Oh, that's right.
And I can still remember that sound effect like 10 years later.
Mm. That's right. It's weird cinema because 70% of it is sound.
Yes.
And they're getting all status on a film set and everybody's goes on about the cinematographer and the visual appeal of the film and everything like that. And you run most films without sound and they're just unwatchable, you know?
Have you ever taken part in the Foley? I got to spend a week and it's almost the most fun I've ever had was a week in the Foley group on a movie. Explain what Foley is.
They basically do all the sound effects, like footsteps, everything from footsteps to sawing up bones to kind of licking lips
just rustling of clothes.
Yes. And they've got, it's a science really. They've got all these amazing bits of equipment that allow them to do stuff like that. Mm. It's one of the most extraordinary bits of filmmaking where suddenly everything is filled in, all the kind of holes and gaps in a film are filled in by all this bits of rustle and tissue paper, anything.
And like in people talking in the background of a restaurant and clinking plates and stuff, that's all them as well, isn't it?
And they watch the screen as they're doing it and they're kind of like timing it to go with the screen and everything like that.
That is the most fun restaurant in the background, and that's called, I think, Loop Group, where you just get about 20 people who work at the sound studio and you say, guys, you've got to come in here and pretend to be talking in the background. And what you can do is there's a chance to put all kinds of libelous in-jokes. Have you ever done that?
In the deep, deep background.
You're just like someone in a restaurant, you slag off the producers of the film. And only people with DTS Hannibal sound will be able to detect the libel later.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are we talking about? Why are we talking about sound effects? How did we get here? You're in space for your new film, Sunshine.
Mm. Where there is no sound.
No. So how do you go with, you know, it's one of these movies where there's going to be spaceships, there's going to be certain conventions that you've seen in a lot of other films. Did you have a meeting where you went, we've got to avoid this, we've got to avoid that?
It's amazing the way the ghosts haunt you of all the people who've made space movies before. There's certain rules you have to follow.
Yes.
And you cannot, much as you want to, you can't depart from those rules.
Mm.
Otherwise, the film just collapses in front of an audience. It doesn't work.
Now, what would be some of those?
Well, a big one is Starfields. You know, like when you see star movies, there's always a kind of sprinkly, all these stars out there twinkling away. In space, you can't see any stars. Because if you see the sun, it's like you don't see, there's no other light, there's just black space and a huge star, the sun.
Okay.
But if you do that, your spaceship appears to be motionless. It doesn't appear to be moving. And everybody goes, why have they stopped? What's gone wrong? And nothing's gone wrong. It's just not, it's just, there's nothing for it to be seen against. So every movie has to have a star field, because otherwise the ship doesn't look like it's moving.
Yeah, that's why we didn't get much movement in the ones that we shot on Super 8 when I was a kid with Star Trek, TIE Fighter, Star Wars.
Don't call in.
We're just dangling against blackness. It was appalling. We tried our own motion control system with the Super 8. Disaster! But and now, of course, you mentioned the sun. The sun's going out. This is how many years in the future?
Well, it's meant to be about 50 years in the future, yeah.
You're right. It's running out of puff. We've got to send a huge bomb into space, fire it into the centre of the sun to get it kick-started again. Mm. Is this based on real science or something you've cooked up?
There is a plausible explanation, which is to do with something called cue balls,
right?
Which I can't really explain, to be honest.
Richard,
it's so complicated.
Richard,
how does that work again?
I think it's in the third act of Short Bus, isn't it?
Hang on, we're not talking about Short Bus.
Okay.
That's not that type of program, Danny.
No star fields in Short Bus, but certainly conventions to be observed. So this is possible? The sun might go out? We're going to have to send a bomb up there?
It is, actually. It is. Yeah. It's very unlikely, because it has got, hopefully, 5 billion years still to burn. It's about halfway through its life cycle. But it could happen. And so they send up this huge nuclear bomb. Mm. And the bomb's the size of Manhattan Island. It is massive. Yes. Originally, it was the size of Kansas. That was how we sold the film when we pitched it.
Oh,
we
really?
The bomb's the size of Kansas, but we couldn't afford that. So we had to settle for Manhattan Island. Bomb size.
And you've got a fantastic international cast in there, including a New Zealander, I think you've got in your cast.
We've got Cliff Curtis.
Yeah, he's good value.
Fantastic. Well, I'd seen him Once Were Warriors.
And Whale Rider. I think everyone in New Zealand was in Once Were Warriors. It's pretty much take a number, do your scene. Punch someone in the face.
I don't
want
to. I've got to go and be in this film.
And you've got our own Rose Byrne, of course,
and
there.
A beautiful, wonderful Rose Byrne, who I've just been with actually doing an interview.
Have
she's gone off to rehearsing. She's rehearsing a film with Hugo Weaving at the moment,
right?
And she's fantastic in the film. She's the one who. It's all about how they. What psychologically happens to them as they approach the source of all life in the universe, and she's the one who hangs on to her morality longer than anybody.
Yeah, that's the Australian character. And of course, going mad in space, on any long flight, someone's going to go mad.
Yeah,
you've got to deal with madness.
You've got to deal with insanity. Yeah, they all get to they all get a moment of crisis, and they all die wonderful deaths.
That's
the thing.
Don't give it away, Daddy.
The really good thing is that when you get an ensemble cast like this, you can kill them in any order that you want. You know? And they do all die, but it is a happy ending despite that.
We've got so many. I mean, Sunshine comes out in a month's time. It's a top view, but so much else to get to. Let's do that next on Get This. That's Eskimo Joe just improvising at the end there. New York, around the country on Triple M. Danny Boyle is here, the director of a new film called Sunshine. Opens in a month. And Danny, I've got a quote, and it's always dangerous reading people quotes of themselves from the internet. But when you did, I remember you came out here for the film A Life Less Ordinary, and Trainspotting had just come out, and you were probably the hottest film director in the world. And this quote here from you: once you've had anything like a hit in the movie business, it's easy to get lost. All these people scuttling around, trying to get you to make things, suggesting things, offering deals. The pressure of what to do next is horrible. Did you get offered some dodgy ideas in the wake of Trainspotting?
Sequel to Hudson Hawk.
You do get made a lot of offers, and you get offered a lot of actors. You know, a lot of actors suddenly want to know you, want to climb into the bed with you, literally.
I remember that when you came out here, the word was there were two local actresses who were having a competition to see who could actually sleep with you.
Wow.
I don't know whether you would have ever have heard that story.
I couldn't possibly comment on that.
Yes, you've got an Australian actress in your new film, but I'm sure that's a coincidence.
I'm sure it is, yeah. No, the thing I remember about coming out here is I flew out, and I flew direct here, and I was, like, really weary with the jet lag and everything. And we did this Q&A, and it was in Melbourne. I can't remember which cinema it was at. And they said the Q&A guy said, the film hasn't really worked, has it, in the UK? Like, it was quite blunt.
Welcome aboard.
And I started my answer and I said, well, I think the reason that the film hasn't worked is, and I paused there foolishly at that moment because I was feeling a bit bleary, and a voice shouted out from the back of the auditorium, because it's not very good, mate, is it?
There's people who go along with lines like coming. That on a card,
yeah,
just waiting for an opportunity to get them in. But Trainspotting, I mean, it is, you know, it would be, would it be the British film of the 90s? Would people look at it that way? Is it hard to live under the sort of icon of something like that?
That people say that, and it's really lovely the way people come up to you still and talk about it and stuff. And you meet all these really young people who've seen it, and you think they've sort of caught up with it in a video store or something like that. Mm. And you kind of, you have to be gracious about it, really, because it is really nice to be popular, as we all know.
Yes.
For whatever the reason, and however old the film is, it's still nice to be popular.
And there is a sequel in book form. Isn't Porno, the book, a sequel to Trainspotting?
Irving Welsh, who wrote it, he's written a sequel, and he's given us the rights to make it sort of in perpetuity rather than flog it off. He could have flogged it off for millions to people, but he's given us the rights to do it. But it's based on the premise that the guys who kind of spent their, you know, the total hedonists who were felt invincible in their 20s, they're now in their 40s and their hair's falling out and they're getting fat,
right.
They can't get it up anymore, and and it's what happens to them. And those actors, unfortunately, they all still look about the same age. As we know, actors, even though they tell you that they're hard-drinking, hard-loving people, they're actually in a spa at the weekend, covered in moisturiser, they're early in bed, and so they just look the same.
Well, it would be great to get that cast back. That you have to wait, what, another 10, 15 years before they look right?
I think so,
it might be that long,
yeah.
How about a bit of ageing makeup? That always goes down a treat.
Hey, what about some dodgy digital aging makeup? Like, what are they doing now? No, I had to ask about this. Is this going on? There's a film called Blood Diamond out at the moment.
Yeah.
Apparently, I haven't seen it, but towards the end, Jennifer Connelly is crying.
Mm-hmm.
Digital tears. Does that go on, Danny?
You can add those, yeah. I think Brad's got digital eye kind of bags under his eyes in Babel. That's what it looks like to me, anyway.
Actors can't even be bothered growing their own eye bags now.
It's
pathetic. Hey, you mentioned now Trainspotting. You do something interesting. Do you do stage versions of your own films?
No, there was a stage version of it, which was actually done before the film, and we went to see
it.
And the guy who plays Spud in the film, fantastic actor, Ewan Bremner.
He
played Renton in the stage version. Mm. And that was the only tricky thing about casting.
Because
I had to tell him, you're not going to play Renton. We want you to play Spud instead.
He was in Pearl Harbor in the end, wasn't he?
Popped up in all these big movies. Like, they're all in Black Hawk Down as well.
Because
it had such an impact. They thought, we'll have a bit of that. We'll have a bit of realism in our film. And they plop them and
kind of too much kind of actual junky work in our American films. What else could they do?
But was there also a stage play of 28 Days Later? Is that true?
I don't think so.
I read that somewhere.
Not that I know about, but if you know anything about it, let us know, because there'll be royalties involved.
Because
you know?
That sounds like a great idea. Was that the first movie to speed up zombies? They've been pretty much lumbering for 60 years.
No, supposedly there is a film. There is one. I think Crazies.
Is that a George Romero film as well?
I think Romero's connected to it. I think they sped him up a bit in that, yeah.
Right.
But it was unusual to do it. I just thought, you can't do a modern zombie movie and they still lumber around.
And the thing is, it kind of, when George Romero went back to the game himself, it was just, come on, get a move on! Too much lumbering! More swooping in from right of frame when you're looking left. That's what we want from a zombie film now. Hey, you think we've got dumb questions? Man, wait till you meet some of our listeners. I'm not meaning that insultingly. They come up with the best questions ever.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do that next. Do you want to subject yourself to some of that, Daddy?
I'd be delighted to, yeah.
Let's do that next.
Get this.
How did this happen?
Brought to you by Travis Whelan, who's shooting his own version of Tony's rejected Twisted Tales script, as seen on the Get This website. Good luck, Travis. And don't forget the scene where Brian Brown gets shot out of a cannon and still isn't convincing.
Let's get this around the nation. Yes, Danny Boyle, our guest today on Get This. The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise was shot in New Zealand.
You're kidding.
You were thinking Japan, weren't you?
That's no way. There's a guy in it who's in Sunshine. I've found a connection. Who's in Last Samurai. The guy who plays the guy who speaks Japanese, he doesn't speak English, is called Hiroyuki Sanada. The really violent guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's our captain in Sunshine. He plays the captain of the ship.
Yeah. Well, most...
Meet Quieter.
amazing death he has.
Yeah,
he's giving away all the deaths.
No, you've got. Well, I always go to movies to see death. So,
and now he supposedly is a massive star. He's like Tom Cruise in Japan.
Ah.
And I'm going there tomorrow. To Japan,
to Japan
to launch the film there. So
I'll drop that name. That'll go down.
So I know I'll be in a decent hotel as well.
Most films are shot in New Zealand now. I don't know if you're aware of that, Danny. Pretty much anything.
Is that right?
Name a film in. Citizen Kane, one of ours.
Really? Arthur Six?
Arthur Six? They're not up to six, are they?
No Retreat, No Surrender 2.
Leonard Part Six,
I think talking to a fine film director. You know him from Trainspotting and 28 Days Later. Sunshine is coming out. Millions is a film that Richard Marsden has just mentioned. Never seen it. Yet to ever find a person with a bad word to say about it, though.
I know, it's got, you know, the Rotten Tomatoes, you know,
yes.
Kind of the reviews, it's got the highest mark ever on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm not surprised, but you can't find a bad review of it.
But you can't find anybody who's seen it either. Nobody wants to see it.
Is it because when you see it at the video shop, it looks like it might be only for children, but it isn't? Is it that kind of thing?
I think it's getting your head around the fact that I did a kids movie, really, a warm-hearted family movie. I think people just instantly reject that. It's
there'll
like
be
a gag reflex.
There'll be children shooting up and climbing out of a toilet. We can't. movie questions. Now, look, here is an email we've received from Mankel William Korf, and he sent us the DVD cover for a new film by Terry Gilliam called Tideland. And he says, you've got to check out the censorship rating. I've never seen one that says this before. And here's what it says. Contains bizarre and disturbing content, including drug use, sexuality, and gruesome situations, all involving a child and some language. That's a long one.
That sounds great.
I was fine till the language bit. That's where I draw the line. You know, the other stuff I'm cool with.
Have you had much of that? Have you had any bizarre censorship of any of your films?
It's weird the way it's changed, because when we did Trainspotting, you could not show in the cinema a needle going into skin.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Is that because like, people like me that get squirmy when it comes on, or is that?
In theory, it was because it was showing people how to do it. But actually, now if you go to the movies, it's in every movie.
Oh, it's mandatory.
Puncturing skin is absolutely mandatory. Yeah.
Helen Mirren all the way through the Queen, going the horse.
Yeah,
it's compulsory. But you know, just when we were during the ad break, I was asking you about the sequel. There is a sequel to 28 Days Later, your zombie film, called 28 Weeks Later, but you haven't made it, and you said you'd seen it and were quite shocked.
I was quite shocked how violent it was, yeah.
Really?
I mean, I like violence generally, sadly, but this really shocked me. I was like, you can't possibly show that.
And as the producer, will you be having a word to them and saying, maybe tone it down, guys?
I said that, and they just looked at me blankly, you know, like I didn't realise how things had moved on.
Well, let's get some questions from our listeners. Danny, are you willing to field questions about films of any kind whatsoever?
Anybody and anything.
About your own films?
Absolutely.
About other people's films? About rumours? Industry rumours? Are digital tears on the increase? Things like that?
Any indiscretion, welcome.
Call now, 133353. That's the Divinals touching themselves here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Film director Danny Boyle is with us. His new film Sunshine opens in about a month all around Australia, and our listeners are ready to throw questions at you. Danny, you comfortable?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, might need
I'll put the headphones on. You'll need some of them. We've got them now.
Come and get deafened by our headphone level. Hello, Craig. How are you?
Craig.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, mate. You have a question for Danny?
I do. I've just seen that they're releasing 28 Days Later, the director's cut, on DVD next month. I'm just wondering how different it is to the theatrical release.
He wants to know if the director's cut of 28 Days Later will come out in cinemas.
There's so many cuts of it, Craig. I don't know what quite's happening. We did all these different endings, and they're kind of, Fox are so kind of brilliant marketing that they put out these different versions of it.
The movie of Cluedo years ago. Different cinema, different ending.
No, what is coming out is there's a sequel to it coming out called 28 Weeks Later.
Yeah.
That will be out in May, I believe, everywhere in the world in May.
Now, I accidentally hung up on somebody who had a question of what I do with it. Yeah, I probably shouldn't touch the screens. About what that's about. What's it? He'd like a little plot outline of 28 Weeks Later.
Well, it's sort of like, it's set 6 months, obviously, 28 weeks after the original film and the original infection. And the whole of the British Isles has been wiped out, and there'll be whoops of joy in Australia, I know, at that news. Yeah. Anyway, 6 months later, the Americans arrive, as they always do, to reboot the country.
A surge, one of their surges.
It's to get all the franchises up and working again, you know, because...
get all the vampires and zombies working together. A new zombie government.
And they set up this group
Green Zone, or the Garden of Eden, they kind of call it, to repopulate the country with expats who were being brought over from, who were outside the country in the, during the original infection. And they start again. And, of course, everything goes wrong very, very quickly.
I see. And I'm predicting 28 months later at some point.
There is a bit at the end of it where it's, there's a, clearly another sequel.
Hey, coming on board.
Who's got another question for Danny yet?
Hi, Matthew. How are you?
Matthew? How you going, guys?
Yeah, really good. Your question for Danny?
Yes, mate. How did you get the streets deserted in London for 28 days later?
Very good question, Matthew. Actually, what we did is we used a lot of cameras, so we only shut them for a few moments at a time. And what in London, you're not allowed to actually stop the traffic. You know, the police won't stop the traffic because of these old ancient bylaws or whatever. But what we did is we got a lot of very beautiful young girls to stand at the street corners and to just lean into the cars and just say and say to the drivers, excuse me, would you mind stopping? We're just making a film here for a few moments.
Wow.
And of course, at that time of the morning, it was like 4:30 in the morning in the summer. They're not wearing very much, and the drivers are all male, and they're delighted to stop.
Yeah,
and it worked out brilliantly, and that was it. And that was how we. And I promise you, that is the absolute truth. That's why it was so successful. It was sex. All came out of sex.
Maybe this is what the Americans have got to do in Baghdad. More women in bikinis on street corners. Would you mind just not? Could you not set that off? Could you not set that off in a crowd, please?
All right,
check these out. You know, that's funny because I'm from New Zealand, and years ago there was a film called The Quiet Earth. With Bruno Lawrence playing the last man on earth.
Oh, yeah.
And they got a similar, but on a much smaller scale, low budget, no one in the main street of Auckland shot. And I remember somebody saying to Jeff Murphy, the director, how did you get that shot with no one in the streets of Auckland? And he's going, oh, we just filmed it on a Sunday. It's as simple as that.
Hi, Bill, how are you?
Very well, how are you?
Excellent, sir. You have a question for Danny?
Yes, I do indeed. I was just curious as to, Danny, whether you could mention who may have been one of your more temperamental actors or actresses.
Yeah, come on, tip a bucket.
How indiscreet should I be?
You're miles away down here. No one would ever hear about
it. On a plane with Ralph Fiennes?
Yeah, no, listen, I've heard these incredible rumours about Ralph Fiennes, none of which have made their way to Britain. I was completely unaware.
Oh,
of,
really?
So this is right, there's a Qantas flight and a Qantas air stewardess.
Yeah. And she lost her job, and it was a story on 60 Minutes. The story on 60 Minutes was, people have sex in airplane toilet.
Oh, my God. Well, Ralph Fiennes' PR people are clearly doing a good job for him back home because there's been no word of it at all.
Is that right? Wow. Hush that up. But I notice you've got away from
answering the question.
Sorry, Will Head. Come on.
Ducking and weaving.
Bill, no one difficult. Come on.
The most difficult person I've worked with, to be absolutely honest, was Holly Hunter.
I knew it.
Oh, right.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That was
tough.
Lifeless Ordinary.
On Lifeless Ordinary, yeah.
Right.
Because that's a great action sequence with her in the truck
when
she's chasing them down. I've never seen her as an action star before.
Yeah, but the rest of the people I've worked with, I've been very, very lucky, actually. They've been really great.
Right. Holly Hunter. Mm. Who would have thought?
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Is that why was her part of the film completed in claymation? I said, you remember, didn't that film end in claymation? It did, didn't it? I'm not dreaming that.
It did. That wasn't the reason, but yeah,
everyone's too temperamental. Get the plasticine in here. Who's going next?
Hi, Will. How are you?
Good, thanks. I was just wondering if 28 Days Later was meant to parallel Day of the Triffids by John Wyndham.
Parallel's a good word. We did steal quite large chunks of it from a number of different films, and that was one of the films that we borrowed from.
It seems similar.
And they're all dead, though, so they couldn't sue us. You have to check that before you take it all. Anyway, but we're, what's his name? Will Smith's making Legend. Is it, what's it called, the one about...
Oh, yes, he is Legend.
Was it Burt Lancaster was in the first one? Is it Burt Lancaster or...
Is it the same one, though?
I think they're remaking that, and he's on his own in Los Angeles.
He's the
man alone in Los Angeles. What's that?
I'm thinking it was Charlton Heston. Was
I Am Legend.
I Am
Legend. Charlton Legend. Charlton Heston, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's... Well, I think we've all done one of those. We've all had a nobody. I've done record signings, which really you could have filmed 28 days later there. No one to be seen. Have we got anyone else here? Have we got anyone who hasn't got a question about 28 days later? That's clearly a popular title out here. And do you think it's, as you say, straight out racism?
It clearly is, isn't it? They love seeing the home country decimated and empty.
133353 is the number to call with a question for Danny Boyle. And more in a moment on Get This. Yes, that's Bones here at Get This. That was The Killers. Danny Boyle is with us, the director of Sunshine, a science fiction thriller which opens on April the 12th all around Australia.
Now, apologies to the people I accidentally hung up on.
There's a bit of confusion at the end of the segment.
Calls in to speak to Danny. We have one of them back. Hello, Guy. How are you?
I'm very well, Ed. How about yourself?
Hanging up on people by accident. So
yeah,
your
nice
question,
one,
thanks. Your question for Danny?
First of all, I want to give Danny props for the beach, which I think is kind of all over the place, but compulsively watchable nonetheless.
There you go.
Thanks, Guy.
It did open all over the place. You're quite right there.
Yes, indeed. Well said, Tony. But I really wanted to ask why Danny didn't direct Alien 4 or Alien Resurrection, which probably would have been better than the pants job that the guy who directed Emily ended up making.
Ooh, right. No, I was involved with it for a while, actually. It was an amazing script written by Josh Whedon, the guy who did Buffy, the guy who invented Buffy and then reinvented it for television. And it was much more like the first film. It was very psychological. It was about cloning.
Right.
It was about Ripley not being the original Ripley and thinking what it is to... It was like inside a clone, what it is to be a clone. Yeah. And, of course, the studio wanted it to be like Aliens, more an action movie.
Yes.
But... And I just backed out because I couldn't handle all the special effects. I just thought I'll just get crushed in this. So
and,
I backed
out of it. Lindsay Lohan as Ripley. I just wasn't seeing that. a film that I've read various things about.
Thanks, Guy.
Alien Love Triangle. Mm. What was that, a film where there was meant to be three shorts making a film? And...
Yeah, it was like what they call a portmanteau film.
Yes.
And the other guys who made their ones, one was Guillermo del Toro. And he made Mimic,
and then he
elongated it into a full-length film, which was released as Mimic. Mm. But we left ours as 25 minutes long because we're stubborn and difficult, and of course it's never been released.
Yeah.
But it has got an amazing cast. It's got Ken Branagh in it, and it's got Heather Graham, who's Roller Girl from Boogie Nights, and it's got Courtney Cox. And Courtney Cox plays a male alien in it. Who is married
male
to Heather,
alien.
Yeah, and she's married to Heather Graham.
There's got to be some makeup work going on there. Come on, some Trans-America style makeup work in that one.
There is in Heather Graham's case, yes.
All right. So all the film is lacking is another 50 minutes, what you're saying.
If you can think of another 50 minutes to go with it, you'll get a lot of funding,
I mentioned a film at the top of the hour, and sorry if it sounds like we're not promoting Sunshine enough, which is a great film that opens on the 12th of April, but just while you're here, Vacuuming Completely Nude in Paradise. What the hell is that? Why have I never heard of that film?
We made a couple of little films for television. We made two for the price of one, you get in the supermarket.
Yeah, well done.
And they were very small and very, very funny. Tim Spall's in it, and... he's hilarious in it, playing this vacuum cleaner salesman who tours Northern England trying to flog vacuums to people.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I'm sure that one will be Vacuuming Completely Nude in Paradise again. There'll be another one of those. Every film you're making needs a sequel.
No studio picked that up, surprisingly enough.
Vacuuming Completely in the Nude Down Under. We get a bit of that on the buses style. But the special effects, because when I went and saw Sunshine, the screening I saw, I was the only one there. Which was great because it was like my own.
I should point out that wasn't because it was open to the public.
No. It was like something that you two were meant to come to, and you decided to go with the most recent one. Mm-hmm. So it was just me just hanging out, chatting to myself and inserting some dialogue where I saw fit. But the special effects are amazing. And then I went on and had a read of the blog. I was like, wow, how do they do the Sunshine? It's going to be like the most incredible bit of technology in the world. And it says here it's a bit of reflective metal, a fan, and a light.
Is that what it says?
Yeah,
your own blog.
It was a bit more complicated than that.
That's what I thought.
See, that's just trying to pose as down-to-earth filmmakers, It actually took a year to create those special effects.
Really?
It takes a year. You have to wait for the special effects to arrive. It is absolutely incredible. Just kind of trying not to damage the film by just waiting for this CG to arrive.
Yes.
What do you mean to arrive?
Well, it's like, I always say it's like a snail setting off from Perth, and you have to wait in Melbourne for it to arrive. I mean, it's literally, you cannot rush it, you'll just damage it if you try and speed it up.
Wow.
And they just build and build these ones and zeros into these amazing images. It's extraordinary what they can do now.
This show is like a snail travelling from Perth most days. And we do like to tell people, don't worry, it's building to something.
Oh, yeah. Something big.
We'll be back to wind up the show in just a moment on Get This. That's enough entertaining for one program, Robbie Williams. It's Get This Around the Nation. Time to wind up. Time to go in music, please, if you could, Mr. Marsden. Danny Boyle, thank you for sitting in for the whole hour.
Oh, no, it's been great. Thanks, guys.
We've got so many more things to talk about. And Sunshine, the best film you will ever see about someone trying to fire a bomb into the sun, opens on April the 12th all across Australia. And it seems that there's... Well, more information about your film than you're even aware of on the internet. What have you found here?
Danny, they're selling the costumes and the props and the sets.
What?
Yeah, there's an eBay.
There's only like eight characters in the film. How many costumes can there be?
Well, lots, because the space suits, the golden space suits, they're up for sale in about a month's time on eBay. Some of the spaceship, your fee as direct, and one of your credits.
They've added the phrase Stella McCartney to all the space suits. They're going for a lot more now. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
And all the best with whatever's coming up next. And Mr. Mars, you can choose it. What was our key phrase today?
Oh, I think it was, third act of Short Bus? Does that sound okay?
No, enough about that. And we'll be back tomorrow with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost from Hot Fuzz. Mm-hmm. And it's all thanks to As Yet Nobody.
Thank you, Danny.
Yes, I know, but I will take an interest in that moth.